Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about apotheosis, the process of becoming divine, as the dark night of the soul. Listen as we discuss the metamorphosis of a caterpillar as the metaphor for the human becoming divine. In this show, we will compare scriptural stories to substantiate the essential practices for humans to graduate from larvae to adult. Caterpillars can't fly because they don't have wings. Just as humans, unconscious of divine truth, can't demonstrate the principle of perfection. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and demonstrate divine law. The title of today's program is Why Caterpillars Can't Fly. Swami, would you review with us the metaphor about the caterpillar?
Yeah, a butterfly isn't born a butterfly, is born a caterpillar. And the caterpillar goes into a chrysalis. In that chrysalis, it becomes the butterfly. And so in this show, I think what we really want to start to bring to the foreground is the idea the human must do the same thing. By us chronologically aging and psychologically, spiritually remaining in this underdeveloped state, we survive, but we're not growing. We're living in a time where the rituals, the ceremonies, the ordeals, the ascetic practices, the points of passage, the rites of passage are on the junk pile with the flat earth theory. We just don't have that anymore. And so as a result, we are surviving, but we're not growing. And our problems are starting to catch up with this. If we started to have a better understanding of this idea of a principle, principle-centered living, the idea of perfection, of wholeness, spiritual identity, these are all words in a book. Until you experience these shifts in consciousness, and in order to do it, we have to make it happen, that just by living instinctually, we discover we chronologically age and psychologically, spiritually remain in this underdeveloped state. So we want to talk about initiating this process and what is it going to look like when I'm doing it? Because after a while, you start to see talk just doesn't cook the rice.
Well, that word apotheosis, we said, is the process of becoming divine. And then we said, as the dark night of the soul. Can you just explain what we mean by that, the dark night of the soul?
Yeah, the dark night of the soul is when the caterpillar goes into a chrysalis. See, in earlier times, they had rituals, ceremonies, ordeals, ascetic practices that accompanied these points of passage. But today, we don't have that. And so we don't go through this initiated practice, this initiated process, and we survive. But psychologically and spiritually, we remain in this underdeveloped state. We never really get out of body-bound awareness. And for most of us, that's all we really know is the mental material concept of life. And a lot of us never get out of fear, instinct, appetite, preservation, survival. What we've learned is there are modes of thinking. And by us initiating this progressive cycle, we can graduate from being emotional, reactive, controlled by instinct, appetite, preservation, survival, which is basically now, we understand that to be a hypnotic state. We believe we are a finite mortal being, and we believe in this limited sense of self, there's an expiration date. We believe that we're going to die. And this is the idea of immortality, the idea of spiritual identity, are really non-existent in our society today. And the reason is because we really don't have leadership in how to grow psychologically and spiritually. We talk about it, but we don't know how to demonstrate divine law with scientific certainty.
So you're comparing our basic human state with that of a caterpillar. And as we said earlier, caterpillars can't fly. So therefore, that's because they're not butterflies yet. So you're saying we're at a low level of consciousness, which is why we cannot demonstrate this divine law, what you're talking about.
Yeah, the human in our original state, this natural born man of flesh, is, like you say, it's the larvae state. It's where we're dropped off at. And caterpillars can't fly, as humans in the larvae state can't demonstrate the principles of the divine law because we haven't graduated. And there are many reasons why the human race continues to reincarnate. And the most obvious is loss of initiation and development. We think going to parties where alcohol is served is a rite of passage today. The term in yoga is avidya, which is ignorance, or the mistaking of the impermanent for the permanent. We have collectively lost touch with the process in development, and the direction we're going isn't getting us any closer to the truth. So at some point, you may want to challenge what it is that you're doing. And if you do, it would be to your benefit to have a metaphysical or a mystical system. And that's one of the things I think religion in its original format provided humanity with. Only they fell prey to the influence of the mortal mind. And we lost touch with this process where we go from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness. Like we said in the opening, I mean, there are scriptural stories that really lay this out for us, but you have to be an educated consumer in order to decipher what it is these words of wisdom are trying to tell us, because they're written by butterflies. They're written by humans in the adult state, humans who are in spiritual identity, as opposed to humans that are still in the larvae state, humans that still believe in mortality.
Swami, so how do we go from this state of avidya, which means ignorance, to this state of knowing?
Yeah, well, at some point, the caterpillar goes into a chrysalis, and the same is true. The human must find something that will enable them to initiate their process. When the insect is in the larvae state, they do nothing but indulge. And then when they go into the chrysalis phase, that's when they shut off the instincts and appetites of the body. And the same is true with the human being. The rituals, the ceremonies, the ordeals, the ascetic practices of earlier times were the chrysalis phase for the human. Because when you're in the larvae state, that's all you do is indulge. But now you have to graduate from being reactive, emotional, and controlled by the instincts and appetites of this mortal sense of life, and now start to make decisions based on a value system that is in accordance with universal order. We have to develop human intelligence and regulate your behavior based on information that will facilitate the growth process. Because today there's just so much information that's out there. And everything can be taken as the soundest truths. There are so many recommendations, so much self-help that's out there today, but where is it going to really going to get you? So before you sign up for something, you really want to try and understand where this is going. That's why a spiritual practice has to have an evidence procedure. Again, coming back to Christian Science, that's one of the reasons why I'm so fond of the work of Mary Baker Eddy, is because of all of the disciplines I've ever studied, hers is the only one where she puts healing on the table. It gives it a litmus test. If you understand yourself spiritually, then of course you're under the government of divine law, which means that you're no longer influenced by the belief in two powers. And once you understand that spirit is a demonstrable principle, it's a law, but you must be conscious of it in order to activate it in your experience, then you want to start to unbox, well, how do I become conscious of this divine law? And then you start to see, well, it's not that easy. There is preparatory work that has to be in place. There are obligations, responsibilities. One of the things we always talk about is only reason walks through the open door of revelation. If you don't develop the mind-body complex to the extent that you're able to control your behavior, your appearance, then you're still not ready to walk reason through this open door of revelation. You haven't mastered the false sense of existence in order to surrender it for this truth of your being. And there's a lot of information out there that says, well, you don't have to do that. You are already spiritual. But unless you are healing the sick, reforming sinner, raising the dead, revealing the divine creation in your experience, then you're just a caterpillar with clip-on wings.
Swami, what is the term in yoga, namaste? What does that have to do with what we're talking about today?
Yeah, namaste in yoga means I bow to the divinity within. Kriya Yoga recognizes spiritual equality. We are all equally divine. However, we may not be all equally sensitive or aware of this divine truth. To be conscious of divine omnipresence, one must be sensitive enough to hear the call and strong enough to walk a solitary path. The journey from the many to the one, never alone to always alone. The key questions to ask is, am I ready? How do I do this? Do I have a plan? Because if you don't have a plan, like they'll tell you in business, you're planning to fail. And a tried and true metaphysical or mystical system can give you a pretty good head start on the collective consensus today.
Swami, let's talk more about those questions that you had mentioned. Am I ready? How do I do this? Do I have a plan? How do we know we're ready?
Well, I think when you're ready to commit, when all of a sudden maybe when you hear information like this, if somebody tells you or you read in the Bible, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And if it resonates to something within yourself, then I would say that you are starting to get this curiosity about the divine self. But to be truly ready, you have to be ready to commit. In order to do this, you're going to need a path of action, things that you can and you must do. You're going to need a path of knowledge, things that you have to learn about yourself, about creation, about how things are working. And you're going to need a path of devotion, dedication, determination, because creation will never reveal its secrets to an unworthy opponent. This doesn't happen to you by accident, for the most part. You can have glimpses of truth, but in order to really take this to the limit, you really have to look at myths like Christianity, the crucifixion of the body, the resurrection of the Son, the reunion with the Father, things like Jesus taking James, Peter, and John to the mountaintop where Moses and Elijah appear. It's not as simple as me declaring that I'm spiritual. I must actually know myself in the way that I am known by the Creator, which is spiritual. And in order to do this, you're going to have to get the mind of Christ. You're going to need the Messiah, the interface that makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Asana Class is a module fitting into the master plan, leading the practitioner to the experience of total consciousness by attuning the mind-body complex to the divine idea, a system of exercises designed to use the physical appearance to determine individual level of consciousness and degree of awareness, starting with the process of lengthening and strengthening muscles to bring bones into the position of internal support. We educate thought up to spiritual apprehension, because when spirit is cause, it calls into expression the beauty of holiness, making creation perfect. Mountain pose may not bring you truth in consciousness, but truth in consciousness must bring mountain pose. Visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, you had made mention of the different levels of consciousness and how they relate to the caterpillar, the chrysalis, and the butterfly stages of development. So does it matter which stage of development you are in order to have a plan that you had mentioned earlier?
Well, to answer your question, yeah, it would. And I think a good litmus test for somebody to start to maybe evaluate what is my level of consciousness, the thing I've always worked with is your nature. So the human has the possibility to be of an animal nature, of a human nature, or of a divine nature. And your nature is going to be determined by the sum of your habits. So we use the physics of spirituality, like attracts like. And so if you are drawn to things visible and tangible, then you would be more of what I would call an animal nature. If you are drawn to things that are invisible but tangible, then you would be more of a human nature. But if you are drawn to what is invisible and intangible, that would put you of what I would call the divine nature. And you can start to learn how to evaluate where you are simply, like we said. I mean, can you control your behavior and your appearance? The thing I like about yoga is you start with strategies. Your path of action is skillful use of thought, skillful use of breath, skillful use of water, skillful use of food, skillful use of exercise. You work with what we call yama, niyama, asana, pranayama. Those become your practices. Your last four stages of yoga, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi, those are the same practices experienced at different levels of consciousness, different degrees of awareness. So as your identity is shifting from physical to astral mental, and eventually to spiritual, you can monitor your progression. You can start to see the differences when you were instinctual, reactive, emotional, when you were at a level where you were making choices based on a value system that was in accordance with universal order. Now, you've made improvement, but it's more of what we would call a lateral movement. You haven't really had this quantum leap, because we really want to find liberation from this law of karma. Liberation from the mental material world that is built on a belief in two powers. Because spiritual law, this idea of the butterfly phase in development, where you rise out of the belief in sense into an understanding of soul. The important point is healing and developing the healing consciousness, which must be built according to, and I really like what Joel Goldsmith says in Heart of Mysticism, where he wrote, "The activity of the Christ is possible to you and to me in the measure that we can grasp it and live it. But it is just as available to anybody in the world who is willing to devote time, effort, thought, money, and study to it. It does require all of those things. It requires devotion, because Christ consciousness is not merely the acquisition of knowledge. It is the development of a state of consciousness," end of quote.
So Joel says that this activity of the Christ is possible for all of us. It just depends the level of consciousness that we're at. So now we're getting right back to what we were talking about before, the caterpillar, the chrysalis, and the butterfly. And what is the difference between those?
Yeah, like we say, it's your level of consciousness. The difference between mental and material consciousness are interchangeable sometimes, because you're still under the law of karma. You still have a belief in two powers. You're under the government of the world mind. And this dualistic existence is the cycle of death and rebirth. It's a false sense of life. But it works on duality. It works on contrast. When we say sense-level living, or in the Bible they would call it living in sin, in order for you to graduate from that level of consciousness and then understand yourself to be one, because at sense-level awareness, you live from the perception of the many. Also, you believe in time, space, concept, belief, matter, form. You think with your five corporeal senses. You believe in change and movement. You have a personal sense of self. Now, all of this has to be mastered, and then you walk reason through this open door of revelation. Because when you trade in your mortal mind for divine mind, everything changes, because now you realize the one. There is only one life, only one being, and it's perfect. It's whole. It's complete. The language of spirit is silence. The activity of spirit is stillness. In spirit, you're not searching anymore. You're not looking for anything. You're resting in the knowledge. In the Bible, they call my peace. When you understand life is perfect and there's nothing any longer needs to be done, and you rest in that knowledge, then you start to find what Jesus was trying to tell us. It's the Father within that does the work, that your conscious awareness of this divine activity is running a perfect universe. Again, coming back to, well, how do I get there? I have to start with a belief that there is a divine creation. Then you have to start to attune the mind-body complex to the divine idea. And so things like silence and stillness becomes your drug of choice. I mean, this is what you want to start to indulge yourself in until eventually you make resurrection, where now you are no longer under the government of two powers. You no longer believe you are a finite mortal being, but now you are living in the divine self.
I see we have a quote here from Mary Baker Eddy that also kind of maybe explains what you were just talking about.
Yeah, again, we're talking about what do we have to do in order to experience this divine creation right here and right now. And what she writes, I'll read it. Mortals must gravitate Godward. Their affections and aims grow spiritual. They must near the broader interpretations of being and gain some proper sense of the infinite in order that sin and mortality may be put off. End of quote. That was from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 265.5. Yeah, this idea of putting off the false sense of self. And you can't just dismiss it or deny what's going on in your corporeal senses. That's why we have to master. We have to control how we think. And we have to learn the relationship between thought and breath in order to do that. And then once you get a handle on how you're thinking, then you stop thinking. And you make your mind aware for the divine creation, the perfection of being, the Word of God, however you want to try and understand the omnipresence of the divine principle. And in silence and stillness, you watch, you wait, you listen, and you let divine truth reveal itself to you. This would be what we call the birth of Christ. The Christ is the saving aspect of truth. The Christ is what makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. But the mind-body complex is like the seed. And then we have to bury that seed in the silence and stillness of divine revelation.
And Swami, I think now would be a good time to also read something from Herb Fitch from Realization of Oneness, Class 13B.
Yeah, I'll read it. When you have passed to the point where divine will itself is all that you respond to, when you have built the inner ear of response to the will of the Father, when you have accepted yourself as the immortal self, the spirit, the living child of God, then divine will activates you and moves you up into Jerusalem, 15 furlongs away. And these 15 would represent successive states of development that will come after Bethany. New progressions in consciousness made possible only when divine will is the motivating force of your being. End of quote. That's from Realization of Oneness 13b.
I like that Herb Fitch makes this distinction about the divine will as opposed to the human will. I think that's an important point for us to remember.
Yeah, because when you do things with your personal will, you have to realize because of your level of consciousness, you can do them for good or for bad. But you also have to understand that when you are under the government of divine will, whatever is done can only be done for absolute goodness. There is no opposition in divine law. Divine life is eternal life, perfect life, changeless.
Well, this completes our program for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And on any of the pages on the website, when you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can press that will further your understanding. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and demonstrate divine law. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga realization. Namaste.